Thank you for joining us for another Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'll be your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today we are joined by Tim Eltz, Portfolio Manager of the Aquila Tax-Free Trust of Oregon. Thank you for being here today, Tim.
Matt, thank you, and thank you for checking in.
So much has happened in this tightening cycle by the Fed. For a time this year, it seemed like we were through the price volatility, but it seems to be lingering just a bit. Where do munis stand as the Fed comments on keeping rates higher for longer?
I agree. There was a period of time in September, just before the Federal Open Market Committee met, that bond pricing seemed to settle in. However, during the September Fed meeting, although the Fed paused, its message was a more restrictive policy for a longer period of time, which essentially means that higher rates for longer. As a result, the bond market is very data dependent right now. So we're seeing heightened volatility as the bond market responds to every piece of economic data that's released. And I would say that until the Fed changes its narrative, we expect to continue to experience a bumpy ride.
Great color there, Tim. What should municipal investors be looking out for as we navigate these markets?
There's a few things. One of the big ones is reinvestment risk. The Fed funds rate has a very significant impact on a very short period of the yield curve. But as a result, we're seeing very appealing rates at the short end of the curve. And so it's very tempting right now for investors to focus on that. But the question should also be, can you replace that yield? And one of my colleagues, David Schiffman, did a great job of writing up a piece that we have posted on the Aquila website under Insights, specifically on reinvestment risk. I would refer anybody to that. The other thing that I think is really significant right now is yield curve positioning. Although the majority of the municipal yield curve remains positively sloped, the portion of the curve encompassing the first 5 years has remained inverted since the fourth quarter of 2022. Right now, the yield curve is all at once flat, steeply sloped, and inverted, and depending upon where you look on the curve. From the first 1 to 5 years, the curve is significantly inverted. From 1 to 12 years, it's ruler flat, and from 10 to 15 years, it's steeply sloped. And so depending upon an investor's strategy, they can have a dramatically different experience right now. So from a portfolio perspective, we're an intermediate fund, and so that's our approach. We have adapted things a little bit just because of this precarious situation with the unusual yield curve shape, where we've adapted more of a barbell type of a strategy, trying to minimize share price volatility and interest rate risk at the same time. And so from a portfolio perspective, we're looking at the short end and longer end in that 10 to 15 year portion. And the last thing that I would point out is credit spreads right now. What I'm talking about is the difference in various credit categories, such as AAA to single A rated bonds or AAA to AA rated bonds. So overall, the perception of credit quality of the municipal asset class remains high as credit spreads have tightened over the past quarter. But still, investors need to remain cautious and make sure that they're getting paid for the risk that they're taking. Now, the Fed is not the only one that's concerned about inflation right now. Local governments are facing significant inflation, cost increases and material increases. And although the market is currently assuming a soft landing, I don't think we can entirely dismiss the possibility of a recession at this point.
Great color all around, Tim. I want to talk a bit about supply here nationally. Across the country in 2023, perhaps as a result of elevated rates, new issue supply has been a bit limited. What's your take on that?
The decline in new municipal bond issuance continues to be a significant factor in the municipal bond market. As you pointed out, this is primarily due to the substantial increase in interest rates and the accelerated pace of rate hikes over this past year and a half. Nationally, we've seen issuance decline by 25% during the first half of this year. More recently, as of earlier this week, it was down about 7%. So issuance is catching up. However, the lack of new issuance supply has made sourcing bonds challenging at times. But I think it's important to point out that this slower pace of new issuance also points to a positive credit trend for municipals, that many local governments are sitting on significant amounts of federal pandemic relief cash and running budget surpluses and therefore not needing to access the capital markets.
So now drilling down in Oregon a little bit, Are there any developments happening in the state as it relates to municipal projects or the state-specific landscape in general?
We were just talking about issuance and the importance of municipal bond issuance to the overall market. In the Oregon market, the November election has always been an important source of new bonds. At Oregon's November 2023 special election, this upcoming November election, several general obligation bond measures have been approved and placed on the ballot, including bonds from six school districts and two cities. However, the total par amount being requested is only about $500 million, which is approximately a third of what we saw last November when voters approved approximately $1.5 billion of new bonds. So even if all the measures are approved, Oregon issuance will likely be more subdued going into 2024. The big news in Oregon is that the state has confirmed it will distribute a record $5.6 billion through its kicker to taxpayers. This is due to personal and corporate tax collections exceeding the state's expectations. Now, the kicker is essentially Oregon's income tax refund or credit if actual revenues for the biennium are more than 2% higher than forecast at the time the budget was adopted. Although the kicker is good news for taxpayers, it poses certain budgetary challenges to the state, particularly if the kicker is paid out at the ending of an expansion cycle and the beginning of a recession, which has been Oregon's experience following both the technology and housing boom in recent decades. In Oregon, October 25th is the last day for tax collections to be mailed out from to various tax collectors around the state. And so far from what we've seen, taxpayers should expect to write a larger check this year than they did last year. We're seeing significant increases in property taxes in Washington, Marion, and Polk counties. Now, a couple examples, City of Independence had taxes increased by an estimated 9.5% as a result of property taxes approved by voters for the fire district that covers the city. And also, City of Monmouth, which is in Polk County next door, had a similar experience where they had also approved taxes for the fire district and had approved bonds for the construction of a new city hall. They're seeing property taxes increase by about 12.7%. And then closer to the Portland metropolitan area, City of Beaverton is likely to see taxes increase by about 8.5% due to the city increasing their operating levy to cover higher costs.
Great color on the state. If I may, one last question. How is the fund positioned in this market?
There's a couple of things that I'd point to. First is high quality, and the second is intermediate maturity. Our portfolio positioning is shorter duration, high credit quality, and higher average coupons, which has been relatively advantageous during the current economic market conditions, volatile daily changes. And I'd say that given the current shape of the yield curve and the potential for continued monetary policy tightening by year-end, we remain cautious in our selection of muni bonds. Under our overall defensive portfolio strategy, as of September 30th, the fund holds approximately 90% AA or higher credit quality bonds. And credit research remains a cornerstone of our strategy, and our local approach with vigilant monitoring of both issuers and sectors. And lastly, I'd point out, with all this discussion that we've had of taxes, higher property taxes, and higher taxes in general, the tax-exempt nature of municipal bonds is a significant factor right now.
That wraps up our podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you again for joining us, Tim.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila Group of Funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.